We're finishing up our series of titled Cries from the Cross, and we come to the seventh utterance or the seventh word that Jesus spoke when he was being crucified. In our text this morning, we're just going to jump right into it, and our text this morning is found in the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We'll specifically be reading verses 44 through 49. If you have your Bibles, please turn there with me and follow along as we look at this last word that Jesus uttered while he was being crucified. The gospel writer Luke, he says this in verse 44. He says, "Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw that what had happened, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly this was a righteous man.' And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things." Jesus' words were, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And I want us to just understand there's a difference between the word commit from Jesus' culture to ours. Our definition of commit means to give in trust or charge, to consign for preservation, to pledge oneself to a position on an issue or question. In the Greek text, this word means and it indicates that we place or put before, we give, we just entrust, and we lay it down before. Friends, in our world, in Jesus' world, the difference between that one word is staggering. Many times in our culture, if we commit to something, we're still feeling like we're in a position of control, and we still hold all the cards, and that's our thought process. We still have the power to decide what will happen. It's imperative that you and I, we see the difference between the two meanings of this single word, commit. As I said, in our day, we can commit and still have the position, the power, the ability to change things, and that we like that. We like that control. We like being in that position where we're never hedged in. We're never boxed in. We can say one thing and say we're committing to it, and then change our minds later. The word commit that Jesus says, "Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit." Jesus was literally saying he is laying down his spirit and placing it in the hands of God the Father. He was entrusting his spirit to God the Father. He was saying, "I am not taking any position, no power, no control over what happens to my spirit. I trust in you being a good God, a good, holy, heavenly Father, and you will do what is right." And so Jesus was placing, he was putting before, he was giving, he was entrusting his spirit to God the Father. This, my friends, is the key to experiencing the peace which Jesus exhibited when he cried out. And he didn't just state this. This was an exclamation. It was not a statement of anguish or anxiety. This was an exclamation of peace, an exclamation of rest. Jesus was saying, "It is finished," as we looked at last week, "and into your hands I commit my spirit." It's a position of rest. It's a place of peace. And you know, sometimes we think that it's how we live that will determine our legacy, but friends, many times it's how we die that will determine our legacy. I have visited individuals that have been on deathbeds, and friends, I'm here to tell you that I have seen a strength in these individuals that were frail as all get out, and I've seen a strength that only comes from one place, and that's from the living Lord. You look at a 70-pound, a 90-pound person, and you see a strength in that person, and it's their peace. It's the peace. I have heard from individuals saying, "I am ready. I am ready to meet my Savior Jesus." And friends, this is exactly where Jesus was at. He was saying and crying out, exclaiming that he trusted fully and implicitly the Heavenly Father. And it was a statement of peace. Jesus was not agitated. He was not anxious. He was not distraught. Jesus was at perfect peace, the Prince of Peace at perfect peace in the will of God the Father. He was restful in the midst of what was taking place. There are reasons that Jesus had and possessed this type of peace. At this time, immediately before he died, the scripture tells us that after he exclaimed this, he breathed his last and he died. And I want us to see three of these reasons. The first is that Jesus had an intimate communion with God the Father. And friends, one component of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Jesus said in John 14, verse 27, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, when our peace gets ruffled and it gets adjusted and messed up in this world, it's when we don't have the ability to change things. It's when we are out of control. It's when we have no power to move the things in our life the way that we want to move them. And friends, that's not peace. That's a fraud. That's not peace. That's a fallacy, meaning it's false, because that's a false sense of peace, because we work and work and work and try to arrange things in our life to make it peaceful. And friends, it's only through the Prince of Peace that Jesus gives to you and to me part of his attribute of who he is, and that being peace. He doesn't say, "I'm going to give it to some of you." He says that, "I'm going to give it to all of you," and that is a gift. And my question to all of us here this morning, have we received God's peace? Have we received the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding, that makes no sense at all? Have we truly and in fact received it? And you might be like me, and you might have in some areas of your life, "Yes, I'm experiencing incredible godly peace over here," but then you're still trying to control things over here. And friends, if you truly want to be at rest, if you truly want to be at peace, you will give that over to the Lord and say, "Work in it. It's yours. I'm done trying. I'm done striving, because I want to have the intimate communion or intimate relationship, intimate fellowship with the Holy God the Father. And I want the blessing, and the blessing is a peace that makes no sense." And so the question is what must we do to receive this type of peace? And we must rest in him, we must stay connected to Jesus, and we must receive what only Jesus can give. The second thing that we can learn from this statement that Jesus uttered is that he had complete obedience. Pavel Polez, a Russian immigrant, he stated this. He said, and this is in 1987, he came to America, and he said, "In Russia, Christians are tested by hardship, but in America, you are tested by freedom, and testing by freedom is much harder. Nobody pressures you about your religion or beliefs, and so you relax and are not concentrated on Christ. You're not concentrated on his teaching, and you're not concentrated on how he wants you to live." We could look throughout all the time, and we're going to meet around the Lord's table here in a few moments. And my challenge is, many times we focus on the death, the sacrifice of Jesus, and what he did for you and for me, and that's a great thing to do. I want to challenge all of us to focus on the life of Christ. Because many times, years ago, I would read the Gospels and I would see that Jesus would get up early in the morning and he would go to the mountain and he would pray. He would take James and John and he would go and he would pray. That he was always seeking the Heavenly Father. And then the text, it would say that Jesus said that he only does those things that he sees God the Father doing. And friends, it puzzled me for years. Why is God, Jesus, going and praying? And the fact of the matter is he's going and praying because he was modeling how you and I are to live our lives today. He was showing you and I what we should be doing. We should be pursuing that intimate communion. We should be pursuing that intimate relationship with Jesus, with God the Father. And we, when we do that, we will receive the peace, and then we will have our lives reordered, not by us, but by God the Father, and we will walk in obedience to what God wants us to do. There's two ends of the spectrum on this. Some of you out here and some of us might be feeling like we don't even know what God wants us to do. And if that's the case, then I'm going to tell you to pray, pray, pray. There's some of you that might know what God wants to do, but you might be being bound by fear or bound by insecurities or being bound by those thoughts that are just haunting you all the time. And I'm going to tell you, pray, pray, pray. because God wants to be your confidence. And you pursue an intimate relationship with someone not by doing things on your own strength and not by doing things in your own ability, but you pursue that intimate relationship by communication. And prayer, friends, it's communication with the Holy God and it's communication with the living Lord. And friends, prayer will change you and it will change me. It will change us from our wants, our desires, our needs, our thoughts, our habits, our hurts, and our hang-ups, and it will move us into walking in obedience and being whole in Christ because we will have been blessed with the peace of Christ. And so, friends, when you truly have that intimate communion with the Lord, you will have a peace that is beyond explanation. And what's neat is then when you begin to allow God to reorient your life and you walk in obedience to where He's leading you, the peace just grows. It grows exponentially. And you have more of a confidence. You have more of a sense of direction, a sense of calling. And you will lead your life and you will be calm waters because the peace of God will be abounding more and more and more in your life. The third thing that we can learn out of this passage, this exclamation, this utterance by Jesus, is that Jesus trusted in the Lord in both life and in death. As I mentioned, we're going to be meeting around the Lord's table this morning, and many times we struggle in our life to trust in Jesus in our lives, let alone death. And Jesus is here. He not only exemplified trust in God the Father to the point of it led him to death, but now he is in this text, he is trusting in the Lord in his death. It's one thing to trust in God in life because we always have that thought in the back of our mind that maybe God will bless us and give us what we really want. It's another thing to lay down your life and say, God, I'm trusting you in my death. The death to self, the death to wants, the death to needs, the death to what we would do in our life, the death. Jesus himself in Matthew 16:24 says, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny, let him die to self, the death to self, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and then follow. It's trust, friends. And when you fully and implicitly trust our Heavenly Father, when you fully and implicitly trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will have a peace about you that will be unshakable. It will be unmovable. It will not have anything connected to this world. It will be the anchor, as hope is the anchor to your soul. And God will prove it to you over and over and over and over again. And so, friends, in the exclamation, Jesus exclaimed, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. We see that he's exclaiming from a point of peace because he had that intimate fellowship relationship with God the Father. He had that perfect obedience. We're not going to be perfect, but the closer that we walk with the Lord, the more obedient we will do. And then he trusted in the Lord, not only in his life, but in his death. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the promise that we can learn from Jesus as he truly had that communion with you. Father, if we don't, I just pray you would challenge all of us to pursue a wholehearted relationship with you, that we would lay down our desires, our wants, our needs, and we would say, here I am, Lord. Mold me, make me, shape me, form me, use me. Fill me with your peace. We thank you for the blessing, Lord. And Jesus, we thank you for the model of your life that it led you to the cross. We thank you, O God, that you wrestled with what God was calling you to do, and you can relate to sometimes what you ask us to do. And so, Jesus, we pray that as we seek your face, as we pray, that you would give us the courage and the strength to be obedient, to just walk in unison with where you're leading. And Lord, just to encourage and embolden our trust, not just to trust you in life, but to entrust you with our death and to entrust you with all things in our lives. And so, Father, and if we wrestle with that, we pray that you would just help our doubts, help our unbelief, and you would just bless our souls with your peace, the peace that is beyond explanation. And Father, we thank you and we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to meet around your table. We thank you for the bread and the cup, and we pray that you would bless the bread and bless the cup and just anoint these sacraments with your holy goodness. Anoint them with your Spirit, that as we partake, we would be in unison not only with you, Jesus, but we would be united with one another, that we would truly experience the family, the body of you, Jesus, the church, your bride. So, Father, bless the elements, we pray. Meet with us this morning as we meet in remembering your life. This day, we honor you and praise you. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.